saw my condition and what I was. You knew I needed a saving blood. You lived heaven's glory to come and give your life. And thank you for paying the price. Thank you.
I just ain't. But the Lord saved my whole family. Step up there. The Lord saved my whole family. And we have been praying for a pretty good long while. And boy, on a Tuesday night, God put two of them in. And thank God made my family whole. And I'm so thankful for that.
Every hope that I have here in this old sinful world is anchored in the blood of the Lamb. Though the billows are raging and we're tossed to and fro, there is peace beneath that flow.
So sweet. Yes, sir. Yes. was in that place one day.
Amen.
Nowhere else to turn. I got to thinking about over there where they said that many of them, you know, didn't follow after Jesus. No more. And he came to the 12 and he said, well, thou also go away. And they said, where else are we going to go? You know, thou hast the words of eternal life.
Right.
You're sitting here with him tonight. You ain't got nowhere else to go.
Right.
Lord, you help them real good.
I don't need silver. And I don't need gold. I don't need the things of this world to satisfy myself. Cause I know Jesus. And Jesus knows me. And that's all that matters. Cause he is the master. And he's my everything. And he's all I need. When trials come, and he's all I need. When there's nowhere to turn, and when I'm in trouble and caught in a storm, he takes care of me. And he's all I need. When that time will come, and I cross that river, and my life here is done. And I fought the battle, the victory's been won. And he's all I need. I don't need fortune, and I don't need fame. I don't really care if anyone ever knows my name. Cause I know Jesus, and Jesus knows me. And that's all that matters, cause he is the master, and he's my everything. And he's all I need when trials come. And he's all I need when there's nowhere to turn. When I'm in trouble and I'm caught in a storm, he takes care of me. He's all I need. When that time will come and I cross that river and my life here is done, and I fought the battle, the victory's been won. And he's all I need.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You'll have to get down to where he's all you got before you find out that's really all you need.
Amen.
Amen. Preacher, you come to the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You pray for him, Lord, to help him real good. Good to be saved tonight. Thank the Lord for another service the Lord's allowed us to be in. And one more time, the Lord's been faithful. And I've felt his presence already. And one fella said, and I believe it's right. I don't believe that salvation is by feeling. Do you? I don't believe it is. It's according to the scripture. It's by grace and through faith. But I'm glad I can feel the presence of God. I can feel his presence in my heart when he enters the building and he comes in the service with us. I'm glad I can feel his presence. I thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that he's here with us tonight. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm born again. And by the power of God. Ain't it wonderful? They're singing that song about the blood, folks. We ought to thank God tonight. Only one thing will matter. Only one thing will matter. Being saved, being born again. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that atones for our sin. And I sure am thankful for it tonight. Amen. Well, I want to do my very best to obey the Lord and be faithful to him. You pray for me tonight. I'll try to do my best to get where I feel like the Lord wants me to be at and preach and say what God would have me to say. And I have to be real careful because I really, really want to preach. But I don't want to run off and leave the Lord. And I do not want to do that. I want to stay faithful to him and go the way God wants me to go and go in the direction that I need to go. And so I desire your prayers, all right? And we'll know as soon as the Lord helps us and as soon as he starts touching us, everybody in this place that's saved will know about it. And I'd say probably even people that don't know the Lord, when he enters in the building, I remember them days as well. Amen. Playing with them cars and trucks, and folks would get happy in the Lord, and his presence would come in the service. And all of a sudden, all those is saved, they'd start acting different. And I'd look, and I'd notice something was different. Something was going on. And I didn't really know about, but I knew somebody was doing something. God was around. And so I appreciate that and thank God for it. And I just want to follow his presence, all right? Follow his leadership. You pray for me, okay? Acts chapter number 5. Open our Bibles tonight, the 5th chapter of the book of Acts. I'm going to start reading in verse number 34. Acts chapter number 5, verse number 34. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain. And all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. Now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Everybody can be seated. You can be seated tonight. We read some verses of scripture this evening that deals with the early church, the days of the church, and early in that time. And I want to deal with this subject tonight about the advice that Gamaliel had given to the council that day regarding these men of God, these Christians. He gives some advice that I believe it plays out all through the Word of God, all the way from Genesis, all the way to the book of Revelation. And this is what Gamaliel said about the matter. He said, if it's of God, you cannot overthrow it. But if it is of men, it'll come to naught. And so I want to preach about this thought on they'll never stop God. They'll never stop it. The church will never be stopped. Now, we understand here in the Bible, the book of Acts, we understand that it is the early church days, as I said. We also know that they was commanded to gather into the upper room. We know that God promised them and said, if I go away, I will send another comforter unto you.
I want you to go and just wait until you'll be endued with power from on high. That's what they done. They got him in the upper room. I've often wondered what the service may have been like that day. Jesus is gone. He is being crucified and he's gone. But they gathered together because simply they was obeying what the Lord told them to do. And they got in the upper room and the power of God fell. Just exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ said, his presence in the Spirit of the Holy Ghost of God, it entered into that place and they was filled with the power of an almighty God. I want to remind you of this tonight. That's the same Spirit that every Bible believer and born again Christian possesses in this day today. If you've been born again, that Spirit of God lives in your heart. Amen. Well, we understand what takes place. They begin to preach and teach everywhere they go. They begin to tell about this man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And everywhere they go, folks are starting to listen and people are starting to pay attention to what they are saying. And folks are getting saved. And the church is starting to grow. And one after another, sometimes one at a time, and at other times 3,000 people got saved and put in the good family of God. And then all of a sudden these men start preaching. Well, you know what it does? I'm going to tell you, Holy Ghost preaching always stirs up religious people. They can't stand the Bible and they can't stand preaching, and they especially don't like it if it's done in the power of the Holy Ghost. They ain't going to put up with it. And so they called them on the carpet and they said, we don't know what you're doing. We don't know the message that you're preaching, but there's one thing we want to tell you. You better shut your mouth. And we've got a law. And we've got a priesthood that we like. And we don't want this man, Jesus Christ. We don't want nothing about it. And so you better shut your mouth and not say a word. You know what that done to them preacher? Peter stood up and said, Lord God, amen. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop. And they preached the word of God everywhere they went. They preached and they preached and they preached. Well, they said, we'll get them to stop. And so they called them into the council and they said, it's time for you to shut your mouth. It's time for you to be quiet. It's time for you to quit mentioning this man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll not hear it no more. We don't want to hear it. And then the Bible said that they beat them and they turn them out. Amen. Oh, thank God. Amen. Now, first of all, I want to notice this about the passage of Scripture. When Gamaliel stood up, this is what he said. He said, I've seen this before. I know enough about the law. I know enough about people. He said, I've seen this before. I remember there's a day. There's a man named Theodos, and he claimed to be a savior. And about 400 people went and built a small cult. Amen. That started him a little religion. And he said every one of them came to naught, and every one of them died, and all of them was over. And then he said this. There was a man named Judas of Galilee. And I like this. During the taxing, he thought, well, that's when Jesus was born. I'll try to be a savior. And he drawn a following after himself. And all of a sudden, they was dispersed and they came to naught. You know what Gamaliel is saying? This is what he's saying. He said, every time that something starts, they have a leader and they have followers, and it finally fizzles out and it's done. Amen. Amen. That's what he said. It'll be over before the first frost. They'll not say nothing. And they laid them straps on their back and they said, we're going to make you quit preaching. And as soon as they beat Peter left that council, and there's rejoicing. They said, glory to God, we've been able to suffer. My goodness, we sure have come a long way. If somebody makes fun of us, we'll nearly quit church. They laid straps on their back and said, I don't preach no more. There'll be no more preaching. There'll be no more word of God. And Peter said, hallelujah, we suffered for the name of the Lord. Amen. See, what Gamaliel was saying to us, it'll stop if it's not of God. It'll be done. It'll be over. It'll be through. Amen. And it's all over. Amen. But I'll tell you about these other people, these other followers. Amen. Their leader wasn't like our leader. Amen. Our leader's not of this world. As a matter of fact, brother, I remember the Bible tells us, and it's very plain about it, on the day that our Savior was born. You know, religion was at an all-time high. The taxing was going on, and a problem all around the nation, and problem all around the country. But somehow, God looked out and said, I'll send my son. I will send my son. I believe what it was that Paul mentioned when the fullness of time was come, that God sent forth his son and made of a woman and made under the law, that to redeem us that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of his son. Amen. Oh, it came time. Oh, here it came. And Mary gave birth to that little baby that was born of a virgin, that the precious son of God. You know what the Bible tells us? All of a sudden, the devil entered the heart of Herod, and he said, I'll have him killed. I kill 2-year-old and under. Amen. And the Holy Ghost woke Joseph up and said, it's time to get out of here. I protect my son. I watch over my son and take care of my son. You know why? Because they'll never stop him. Amen. Oh, they thought they had him. Oh, they thought they had killed him and destroyed him that very day. But you'll never stop God. Amen. Amen. Well, I got a lot of preaching here to do, and I'm trying to hurry. But I also know this. I believe, Brother Kevin, the day that they took our Savior up to the cross, and Brother Christian, they beat his body, and they bruised his body, and placed that crown of thorns upon his head, and nailed those hands to that old rugged cross. I believe this, Brother TJ. I believe they thought they stopped him. I believe they said, we got him now. As a matter of fact, Paul said, if none of the princes of this world would have knew, because if they would have knew, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. They'd have never done it. They thought it was over. They thought it was through. Amen. I'm going to tell you, you'll never stop it. Amen. Oh, you'll never stop it. And they took his body down. I heard one man say one time, much smarter than me, but apparently is ignorant. But he said maybe that he just kind of was in a coma. And that's when he came back up and he was writing all these books, you know, claiming to be. I want to tell you, he died. Yeah. Brother Bobby Coger, the last breath that left his body. Yeah. Every drop of blood that was running through his precious veins, that was shed. Amen. For sinners. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. It was over. And they took his body down off of that cross. And they said, we got him now. He'll never come back. We've killed him. We've killed him. Amen. Herod couldn't get him. But now we've killed him. And we're going to take this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of his followers will be gone. And it'll all be over with. Amen. Oh, but they is badly mistaken. Because just like the Bible said, glory to God, hallelujah, when they placed him in that tomb, I rolled that stone over the door, 3 days later, hallelujah, he got up. Glory to God, he got up. Amen. Oh, he arose again. They said, we've got him now. No, they ain't ever going to stop him. Amen. He walked out of that tomb as a mighty warrior. Amen. Walked into the portals of another world and presented and gave his blood. Amen. And he's alive forever. They'll never stop him. They'll never stop him. They're trying. Amen. They're trying. Amen. And so now in our text of scripture, there's a message that they're going to stop. They're going to quit. There'll be no more gospel. I want to tell you tonight, thank God for the gospel. I'm not into self-help groups. I ain't into a 12-step program. I want to tell you, if you get come in contact with the gospel, Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. Everybody that wants that will listen to the gospel can come to terms with the gospel. The gospel is what saves us. And you can do all you can, and you can do all of your checklist. But I want to tell you, if you enter the portals of heaven, you'll have to put your faith and trust and hope in the gospel, which is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, we got him. Amen. I said, yeah. He said, if he's not true, it'll stop. Amen. Now we'll stop the message. The message of the gospel is going to be over, and it's going to be through. Amen. You know what the Bible tells us? Amen. As they begin to preach the gospel and as they begin to spread the word of God. I remember that man, his name was Stephen. You remember him preaching? Amen. He stood there and preached to that whole crowd and preached to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he pointed a finger at every one of them. He said, Jesus was the right thing, and he was the Son of God, and you killed him and hang him on a tree. It was your fault. He said, you resist the Holy Ghost just like your fathers did. He said, we'll have no more preaching. We'll kill that preacher. He's the first martyr in the Word of God. We'll kill the preacher. And they stoned him and took his life. But it just so happens. I mean, it just so happens. You're going to stop God? You're going to stop him? Oh, no. You ain't going to stop him. It just so happens there's a man named Saul. Amen. And apparently sometime or another during the preaching of this man, Stephen, as he is preaching the gospel, poor old Saul, he is a righteous man according to the law. Amen. He is one of them fellas, you know, that walk in the house of God and say, God, I bet you're glad I'm here. And I don't never do no wrong. And God, I'm the greatest of the greatest. Old Paul had a good standing in a community. He is a trustworthy man, but he had never been saved by the grace of God. And that old man Stephen, while he's a preaching and while he's aligning out the terms of the gospel, old Saul must have heard. And they brought the coat and laid it at Saul's feet. And Saul went into town. He said, I love killing Christians. Oh, he said, I love to kill them. I'll kill everyone that says they name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll kill them all. I'll kill men and women and boys and girls. And while I'm doing it, I'll like it, because they cannot go against my law and my tradition. And God said, all right. He said, all right, then. That's what you feel about it, Saul. Go down there and get you some letters. You go down there and get you some letters. Go down there and get your letters, Saul. And let's go kill my people. I take care of all of them. I kill every Christian. And you'll stop the plan of the gospel. It'll be over. Oh, Saul said, all right, I believe I'll do it. I'll kill them all. I'll take their lives. Here he goes. He leads. And starts going down the road. Amen. On that road to Damascus. And he gets about halfway from where he was and where he left. All of a sudden, there's a light that came out of the glory world. Oh, Saul looked up and said, who art thou, Lord? Oh, he's in trouble now. Thank God for Holy Ghost conviction. I thank God for a call from another world. Hallelujah. No, oh, Saul knew he's in trouble. Who art thou, Lord? I wonder how he even knew how to address him, how he even knew how to talk to him, how he even knew what was going on. Amen. You can't not know if it's really God. Amen. That's right. And old Saul's got the letters to the church. And he said, I'll kill every Christian. I'll be done with the Christians. I'll stop the church. And God said, no, you won't. Who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I might ought to stop there and say this. What God was saying is, as a master does with them oxen, he's got them pricks that he holds out, or a goad, and it makes sure that the oxen stays where it's supposed to be. I want to tell you, I'm glad God's got a mighty strong arm. Amen. You'll never stop him. Amen. And God said, no, you won't do that. I got a plan for you, old buddy. You're going to suffer for my name. You're going to be a preacher of the same gospel that you're trying to kill. Boy, God struck him down. I struck him down with blindness and woke Ananias up and said, go tell Saul, I got a man waiting on you. And he needs to hear about the gospel a little bit more. Amen. And Ananias said, I've heard, Lord. Oh, there he goes arguing, you know. I can't do that. Oh, no. That man will kill me. That man will put me to death. He said, he's a chosen vessel. And Ananias got his boots on and headed down there and said, Brother Saul, yes, I reckon God sent me down here to talk to you a minute. And all of a sudden the scales fell from his eyes. I believe he's already born again, by the way. Amen. And because Paul talked about that place, he said he was saved. That great light. And old Ananias called him brother. Brother. That's a loose term. I just call people brother if they profess to be saved. Amen. Brother Saul. There he is. And Saul got saved so good, God changed his name. Amen. Amen. Now his name's Paul. And Paul said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I don't want my righteousness anymore. I don't want what I had by the law anymore. He said, I'm going to start preaching the faith which I once destroyed. He went in there to the early church. He said, I've been saved too. And rightfully so. They didn't want to have much to do with him. I probably wouldn't have either. They thought he was going to come on the inside and destroy every one of them. But God had done a work in his heart. I want to tell you, folks, they'll never stop God. Amen. The blind bolt and the church and the born again. They'll never stop him when it comes to his church. Amen. I'll tell you why, and I'm done. First of all, because her foundation's right. She's founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and she's got the right foundation. Amen. I want to tell you, we're living, I don't know why the Lord's want me to preach it like this. I'm just preaching my heart, but we're living in some mighty discouraging times. We're living in times now. I'm talking about people that's walked with God and been faithful to God, and those that have been true saints of God, they're walking, but they're walking mighty slow, and a lot of folks are discouraged. And a lot of people are down. And a lot of people is worried. Let me tell you something right here. I know you know it, but maybe God will speak it to your heart. The church will never go under. Amen. Amen. And the bride of Christ, and those that are born again, she'll never go under. Hallelujah. She's founded upon the rock. She's founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ. A true and a sure foundation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Amen. She's mighty solid. I said she's mighty solid. Amen. She's founded upon a rock. Amen. And her force is right. She's been endued with the power of the Holy Ghost. She's got the right force behind her. Hey, man, I'm getting somewhere right here and I'll be done. But she's being pushed from winds from another world. Hey, man. Ain't it amazing? Here we are. What is tonight? Tuesday night at the Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Jamestown, Tennessee. And our poor old government shut down and we're still functioning. Amen.
Amen.
What about that tonight? Reckon why we didn't just cancel the meeting.
Go ahead, brother.
Because our government is not in this world.
Amen.
Our government, amen, it's not in this world.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our government is upon his shoulders. And our government is a king. He's not a president. Amen. Our government is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I got a mind to believe if the rapture don't take place between now and tomorrow night, we'll go again. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If it does, you just carry on without us. Amen. Amen. Oh, she's forced by the power of God. She's got something in her that's a pushing her, that's a helping. And sometimes we struggle and we get down. And oh, like the old preacher said, he said, there's been many a time that I've quit on God and I threw in the towel. And he said, God caught the towel and he threw it back. Amen. And said, you can't quit now. Yeah, ain't no sense in quitting now. Ain't no sense in stopping now. Because there's something, what was it, 1 John said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. There's something in me. He lives in me. I'll tell you something, this may burst somebody's bubble. And I ain't going to kill nothing, I promise. But I can feel him even when I ain't at church. I'll tell you something else that might burst somebody. I can feel him even when nobody's saying amen. He goes to churning. How in the power of God goes to moving. I feel him out when I'm by myself. I'm forced. I got a force in me. I got something that's in there. And he's a pushing me out. And when I fall down, he picks me up. He said, let's go on, son. Amen. He's a comforter. He's a comforter. I know he's a convictor. I know he does that as well. But he comforts me. He comforts me. He comforts me. Amen. She's got a good force. She'll never, ever be stopped. You'll not stop God. Now think with me just for a second. All right, if she's found it right and she's got the right force and she's being pushed by the right power, think with me now about all of the saints of God. I read the Bible, I read about Paul, I read about all of the good people in the scripture that walked with God and was faithful. But then I know some people personally that I watched them. They walked with God. They lived for God. Their main objective was to be submissive to the will of God. And they walked with him and they was faithful to him and they worshiped him and they just kept right on a going. And then one day when the time came, they looked back to this old world and said, see you later. And that force, whew, took them right on home. I'll tell you why you'll never stop the church, because she's got a future. She's a going somewhere. Amen. Amen. Oh, thank God. We're going somewhere. We have, what is it that old song saying? There's a land that is fairer than day. Amen. Amen.
Bless you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Miss Nellie at my church used to sing them old songs like that, you know. And she'd get cued in on them songs and she'd get in another world. And she'd see far above some of the problem. And I'd think, Miss Nellie ain't singing to us right now. She's singing to something else. Amen. She'd say, I'm watching heaven's time clock to bring my Savior back. I may be living in some measly little shack, but I'll go up in the rapture. Praise God, my fare is paid.
Amen.
Amen. And then she'd go, woo! Woo! And I'd say, Miss Nellie, she's a seeing another country. Her future is coming in view. Amen. I don't tell you, the past don't look good. The present don't look the best. But the future is looking good. Amen. When all the saints of God is going to say, goodbye, world. Goodbye, world. And check out of here. And check into a brand new country. Amen. I'm a looking forward to heaven. Ain't you? I'll tell you, we got a good future. Amen. Brother Darwin, I say this tonight from my heart. I say this tonight in the Holy Ghost. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. Nothing in this world. But I remember Brother Darwin's dad, Brother Arthur Nance, Junior Nance. He used to call me and he'd say, I need you to come preach at youth meeting on Saturday. He said, the Lord told me to call you. If you don't care to come and preach, I'd appreciate it. I'd go over and preach. Oh, Brother Arthur, he'd just, amen, you know. Amen. You remember how he said that? Amen. He'd just amen me right on. But old Brother Arthur run his race, didn't he, Brother Darwin? His body got mighty feeble, and he checked out of here and said hello in another world. Because he was founded right. He was forced right. Amen. And he had a blessed future. Oh, hallelujah. All the saints of God. I'm talking about all of the blood washed. All of those. We shall be together one day. Amen. The old mountain preacher used to say, on the sweet banks of sunny deliverance. Amen. We'll be over there. Amen. That's right. Oh, Brother Carl Roper, an old man, I'm clearing my heart now. Old man in Western North Carolina, older preacher, never did get to meet him, but I heard stories and stories about the old man of God and about how many revivals he preached and how many things that he saw happen, how God used him. And they put Carl Roper, his health got bad, and they took him down there to the nursing home, and they laid him in a bed down there at the nursing home, and he got in real bad shape. He woke up one day, and he had some scripture on his heart. And there's a nurse walked in, and they said, oh, Carl Roper, looked at her and said, do you know Jesus? And she said, no. She started checking him, you know, check. He said, you don't need to check my blood pressure, ma'am. He said, you need to check your salvation. He said, do you know Jesus? She said, no. She said, you're just, something's wrong with you. About that time, they said some of his family walked in, and they stood there. And she said, he's talking out of his head. He looked over at him and said, no. He said, the Holy Ghost told me to witness. And they looked at her, and they said, listen, Daddy's a preacher, and you better listen to him. He's just trying to help you. Well, the old girl got under conviction, and she got saved about a week later down there at the nursing home. And she went home and told her husband. She said, there's this old man. Said he's rough looking. He's skinny. He's about to cross over. Said he looks so bad. But he's told me about Jesus. And they brought her husband down there at the nursing home. And old Carl looked at him and said, do you know Jesus? He said, no, but I'd like to. He said, our Savior went to the cross. And he gave his life for sinners like you and me. And then said, I want to be saved. He said, you just got to ask him, sir. And they had a revival for 3 weeks while Carl Roper's laying in the nursing home in a bed, almost checking out of this life. Now, I don't want you religious. Well, he's probably out of his head. He sure was. He's in his heart. Amen. And they said, oh, Carl woke up one morning. And he said, meeting is now over. And he closed his eyes back and left out. Amen. Oh, I'll tell you. Amen. We shouldn't fear death. It's already been took care of in the life of the believer. Amen. Oh, we got a future. We have a precious and a blessed future someday. Amen. Everybody stand, I'm through. Everybody that's saved, you can raise your hands. That won't hurt nothing. Everybody in here saved.